Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today, I want to say something about suffering in relation to repentance. When we need to repent, it is a blow to our pride, and we don't want to. We want to excuse it. We want to disguise it. We want to do everything we can not to face the truth. But, oh, brothers and sisters, when we say, I've made a mistake, this was wrong, I did it, I'm sorry, please, Lord, will you please forgive me? When you do that, you, in a certain way, you at least minimize, but you, in some cases, you break the power of the enemy in your life because you bring into the light what was in the darkness. And it is suffering. I mean, we all go through that. How could I possibly have done that? I can't confess that. I just want to ignore it. I just want to forget. No, face it. I did it. As I often say, I did it. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And what that does is open the door for God's light. I keep using this image, but it's one the Lord just keeps putting on my heart. It causes the light to shine out in you. And when people see you, they find him. I know that I'm truncating something here, but when they see you and they see you as a person of faith, they're intrigued. Sometimes they're inspired. They may be put off, but many times they're inspired and intrigued. And so often it's when you and I repent of our sin, when you and I face our sin and ask forgiveness, that in a certain sense, the door to God's light is opened. And it shines in us and it shines through us. I don't know how it happens, but I do know that when we repent of sin, God draws very near, very near. He's in us all the time, but let's say his nearness becomes more evident. And many times it seems as though the light shines in the darkness into situations that are difficult. People see you, they find peace, they find hope, they find encouragement. That's what I mean by the light. Those signs of God's presence become more evident. So when you, I don't mean to heap guilt on you, but when you refuse to repent of your sin, the effect is that other people walk in darkness because you weren't the light that they needed. And I don't say that to make you feel guilty. I just say that to pay attention. Please pay attention. Do what the Lord asks, and you'll know goodness and you'll know peace. The first reading is taken from the book of Ezra, chapter 9, verses 5 to 9. At the time of the evening sacrifice, I, Ezra, rose in my wretchedness. And with cloak and mantle torn, I fell on my knees, stretching out my hands to the Lord my God. And I said, My God, I am too ashamed and confounded to raise my face to you. Oh my God, for our wicked deeds are heaped up above our heads and our guilt reaches up to heaven. From the time of our fathers even to this day, great has been our guilt. And for our wicked deeds we have been delivered up, we and our kings and our priests, to the will of the kings of foreign lands, to the sword, to captivity, to pillage, to disgrace, as is the case today. And now, but a short time ago, mercy came to us from the Lord our God, who left us a remnant and gave us a stake in his holy place. Thus our God has brightened our eyes and given us relief in our servitude. For slaves we are, but in our servitude our God has not abandoned us. Rather, he has turned the goodwill of the kings of Persia toward us. Thus he has given us new life to raise again the house of our God and restore its ruins, and has granted us a fence in Judah and Jerusalem. Even here in this passage from the book of Ezra, you see that repentance, you see the effects of their sins, but you also see their repentance and how that repentance led to a reception of the mercy of God in their lives and in the lives of those around them. That's what God wants to do in your life and mine. Blessed be God who lives forever. He scourges and then has mercy. He casts down to the depths of the netherworld and he brings up from the great abyss. Praise him, you children of Israel, before the Gentiles. For though he has scattered you among them, he has shown you his greatness even there. So now consider what he has done for you and praise him with full voice. Praise him with full voice. Brothers and sisters, when you repent of your sin and you know the mercy of God, thank him. Thank him. How often do we turn and thank God? Thank God for another day to love you and to serve you. Thank God that I have my health today. Thank God that my physical situation is better than it was last week. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. You'll find all kinds of things to thank him for. Even in the midst of carrying maybe a heavy cross, you'll see, because God will give you light to see. You repent of your own sin, as I said, and you proclaim his wonderful deeds. You thank him for his goodness. And the gospel is from Luke chapter 9, verses 1 to 6. Jesus summoned the 12 and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Notice that. He called them to do two things: to preach the gospel and heal the sick. He said to them, "Take nothing for the journey, neither walking stick nor sack nor food nor money, and let no one take a second tunic." In other words, be totally dependent on me. Now, you really have to hear the Lord on that, because that could be foolhardy. But Jesus was making it very clear to them in that situation. And he's making it clear to us by saying this. He's making clear to us, where are you putting your attention? Where are you putting the weight in terms of trust? Is your trust in the Lord, or is it in the things you have or the talents which you have? Is it in things or talents? Well, I can get this and I can get that and I can get the other thing. And it's fine if you can do that, but don't put your trust there. Put your trust in God who provided those things. Go back to the origin, always, and thank him. Whatever house you enter, stay there and leave from there. And as for those who do not welcome you, when you leave that town, shake the dust from your feet in testimony against them. And then they set out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and curing diseases everywhere. We're celebrating today the feast of St. Vincent de Paul, one of the great saints who cared for the poor, who in every way reached out to them. He's one that is worth reading his biography, any biography you can get hold of. Read the biography of St. Vincent de Paul. See what he did. See how he cared for the poor. He himself was born of a humble peasant family, and he found his calling in the ministry to the poor, first among the country estate of the Gondi family and later in Paris. He founded the Lay Confraternity of Charity, the Daughters of Charity, and the Congregation of the Mission. He ministered to the whole spectrum of human need: the sick, prisoners, foundlings, prostitutes, slaves, beggars, outcasts. He instructed his followers, if a needy person requires medicine or other help during prayer time, do whatever has to be done with peace of mind. Offer the deed to God as your prayer. Doesn't mean it can always take the place of, but it certainly has a priority. Brothers and sisters, where's the poor in your neighborhood? Where are the poor in your parish? Where are the poor that are somehow connected to the work that you do? Where are the poor? Who are caring for the poor in your children's schools? Are you looking for the poor? Christ always looked for the poor. He turned to them first. Do you look for the poor? I'm not saying that you take on the great ministry of Vincent de Paul, but do you have a heart and do you have eyes and do you have ears that are attentive to the cry of the poor? That's part of who God is. Scripture tells us he always hears the cry of the poor. It's a way of bringing hope and peace. Does it cost you? Yes. Do you have to give up your neat schedule sometimes? Yes. But oh my goodness, when in the face of the poor you see gratitude, what I experience is you see the beauty of God. Their gratitude is so genuine, so unfeigned. It's beautiful. Brothers and sisters, look for Christ in the face of the poor. Doesn't mean you have to go out and take on a huge ministry or something like that. It means be attentive. And when you see it, ask the Lord, what can I do? Can I do, or can I ask somebody else to do? I just did that on the phone last night. I couldn't do something for somebody who was in need, but I knew I could get somebody. I knew I could find somebody. Sometimes that happens. It's your willingness to do what God asks you to do, maybe to be a messenger, to alert people that this is a need and that you can help, but you can't do it all. Could somebody help me with this? It brings such blessing and such reward in our own lives. It almost makes me embarrassed that all I'm doing is what somebody desperately needs. And God is blessing me and thanking me. He has such great love for the poor. Such great love for the poor. Just want to encourage you to reach out to them. Jesus, of course, in the gospel tells us that we're not to depend on anything in this life to make our ministry effective. Yes, I mean, in terms of food, clothing, and shelter, yes. But don't look, as I said earlier, don't look at your gifts and talents as the source of helping all these people. Look to God and then ask God, what part am I called to play? This is taking your faith, brothers and sisters. It's taking your faith and it's making it real, real. So I urge you, when you see your own sin, please repent. Please repent. When you see the suffering of others, please ask God, what is it that I can do? How can I help? Rather than, oh, too bad for them. Sorry, but I'm too busy. Let's eliminate that from our speech and eliminate it from our hearts. May God use you to relieve the suffering of others. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.